Let's read verses 14 through 18 in Romans 10. Hear God's word. How then will they call on him in whom they have not believed? How will they believe in him whom they have not heard? And how will they hear without a preacher? How will they preach unless they are sent? Just as it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news of good things. However, they did not all heed the good news, for Isaiah says, Lord, who has believed our report? So faith comes from hearing, and hearing by the word of Christ. But I say, surely they have never heard, have they? Indeed they have. Their voice has gone out into all the earth, and their words to the ends of the world. About 20 years ago, Pastor John MacArthur wrote a book which he titled The Gospel of Jesus Christ. That book was endorsed by J.I. Packer. And in a foreword that Packer wrote to that book, he informs us that he's very encouraged by MacArthur's stand on the gospel, because in this particular book, John MacArthur states boldly that the gospel involves the lordship of Jesus Christ. A year later, a professor from Dallas Theological Seminary by the name of Zane Hodges wrote a rebuttal to John MacArthur's book. He called his book absolutely free. And in that particular book, he articulates a slightly different approach to the gospel and indicates that it's not necessary for an individual to submit to the lordship of Jesus Christ. It's simply the process of believing in Jesus that brings an individual to salvation. And that faith is rather like believing that George Bush is the president of the United States. That's the depth of the faith that was required. Well, if you've grown up in this church or if you've heard preaching in this church, you know that MacArthur's position is the correct position and Mr. Hodges' position is the one that is aberrant. And you realize that it is God's rule and God's reign exercised through the lordship of Jesus Christ that is the source of comfort and the source of salvation. And Paul labors mightily, especially in the book of Romans, to lay out this great truth. And this is the point that I want you to get this evening. And I hope you'll go away with it. That the rule and the reign of God through Jesus Christ, exercised through the lordship of Jesus Christ, is the source of your hope and the source of your salvation. The text I'm interested in bearing down on is verse 18 in Romans chapter 10. But I say, surely they have never heard, have they? Indeed they have. Their voice has gone out into all the earth, and their words to the ends of the world. Paul is indicating here that the people of Israel especially, and then the Gentiles secondarily, have heard the message of God's greatness, of God's rule, of God's sovereignty as exercised through Jesus Christ. And interestingly enough, the apostle quotes from Psalm 19 to validate his point. Their voice has gone out into all the earth, and their words to the ends of the world. Now, if you know anything about Psalm 19, you know that Psalm 19 speaks about God's revelation through creation in the first part, and in the second part, it speaks about God's revelation in His Word. But this quotation comes from the first part of the psalm, God's revelation through creation. Or at least that's how we understand the psalm. And so the question arises, why is Paul utilizing Psalm 19 to validate the fact that men and women have heard about the sovereignty of God and the sovereignty of Christ? Well, to help us answer this question, let's go back into the context a little bit of Romans 10. Let's look again at verses 14 and following. How then will they call on Him whom they have not believed? And how will they believe in Him whom they have not heard? And how will they hear without a preacher? And how will they preach unless they are sent? Just as it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news of good things. There's another quotation from the Old Testament. This one comes from Isaiah chapter 52, and we're going to go back there and look at it in just a moment. However, they did not all heed the good news, for Isaiah says, Lord, who has believed our report? There's another quotation from the Old Testament. This one is from Isaiah chapter 53, and verse 1. Let's go back there now to Isaiah. Isaiah 53, first of all. And notice what Isaiah 53 is about. Or remind yourself of the content of Isaiah 53. Isaiah 53 really is breaking into the servant song that begins at the end of chapter 52. Let's go back to verse 13 in Isaiah 52. Behold, my servant will prosper. He will be high and lifted up and greatly exalted. Just as many were astonished at you, so his appearance was marred more than any man, and his form more than the sons of men. Thus he will sprinkle many nations. Kings will shut their mouths on account of him. For what had not been told them, they will see, and what they had not heard, they will understand. Who has believed our message? And to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? For he grew up before him like a tender shoot, and like a root out of parched ground. He has no stately form or majesty that we should look upon him, nor appearance that we should be attracted to him. He was despised and forsaken of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief, and like one from whom men hid their faces. He was despised, and we did not esteem him. Surely our griefs he himself bore, and our sorrows he carried. Yet we ourselves esteemed him stricken, smitten of God and afflicted. But he was pierced through for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities, and the chastening of our well-being fell upon him, and by his scourging we are healed. Surely this is the Lord Jesus Christ, and surely the message that Isaiah is speaking about is the message concerning Jesus Christ and the sovereign God sending Jesus Christ into the world. And did you note the end of chapter 52? Thus he will sprinkle many nations. Kings will shut their mouths on account of him. For what had not been told them, they will see. And what they had not heard, they will understand. Yes, kings will bow to Jesus Christ, because he is the King of kings and the Lord of lords. Yes, he died on a cross shamefully, and he perished on that cross physically, bearing the sins of people like you and me, and then rising again from the dead. He ascended into heaven, and he sits properly at the right hand of God the Father Almighty as King of kings and Lord of lords. Yes, kings will bow to the King. And this is a text, you see, about the lordship of Christ and his great work. Who has believed the message? And that quotation, that text, Paul picks up. And not only that text alone, but thinking of the entire context of Isaiah 53. And then Paul, as I indicated earlier, and some of you were flipping in your Bibles back to Isaiah chapter 52, Paul quotes from Isaiah chapter 52 and verse 7. Look at that particular verse. How lovely on the mountains are the feet of him who brings good news, who announces peace, who brings good news, who announces salvation. You see, this is the picture of the messenger who comes, as it were, from the field of battle back to the home station, to the base camp, to bring word from the front line as to what was taking place. And the messenger comes running vigorously with feet high because he's in a happy gait bringing news of God's goodness on the front. That's the picture that's being given here. And Isaiah picks up that picture and applies it to the gospel. How lovely on the mountains are the feet of him who brings good news, who announces peace and brings good news of happiness, who announces salvation and says to Zion, you see, here's the news now. Your God reigns. That's the news that's being given. And this is the Old Testament counterpart, friends, of what Paul says in Romans chapter 10 and in verse 9, that if you confess with your mouth Jesus as Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. You see, it's the same message in the Old Testament and in the New Testament that God reigns. And as I said earlier, God's rule and reign through Jesus Christ, through the rule and the reign of Jesus Christ, is your comfort and your salvation. And that's what Isaiah is saying to you and to me. To get the point a little bit more thoroughly in Isaiah 52, let's go back to the very first of that chapter, and read what Isaiah has to say. Awake, clothe yourselves in your strength, O Zion. Clothe yourselves in your beautiful garments, O Jerusalem, the holy city. For the uncircumcised and the unclean will no longer come into you. Shake yourself from the dust. Rise up, O captive Jerusalem. Loose yourself from the chains around your neck, O captive daughter of Zion. God is giving a message to Jerusalem through Isaiah the prophet. And if you know your timeline, you realize that Isaiah lived quite a little bit before the fall of Jerusalem, and quite a little bit before the captivity of the people, and quite a little bit before the return of the people to Jerusalem. And so Isaiah is prophesying. He's looking ahead quite a ways to the captivity of Jerusalem. And not only looking ahead to the captivity of Jerusalem, but to the deliverance of that great city. Shake yourselves from the dust. Rise up, O captive Jerusalem. Loose yourselves from the chains around your neck, O captive daughter of Zion. For thus says the Lord, you were sold for nothing, and you were redeemed without money. You read earlier from Exodus and were reminded of the fact that God redeemed his people from Egypt. Verse 4 in Isaiah 52. For thus says the Lord, my people went down at first into Egypt to reside there. Then the Assyrian oppressed them without cause. The northern kingdom fell in 722 B.C. Now therefore, what do I have here, declares the Lord, seeing that my people have been taken away without cause? The Babylonians came and plundered Jerusalem and destroyed the southern kingdom of Judah. And Isaiah says, God really speaking through Isaiah says, it was without cause. In other words, the Babylonians had no reason to plunder Judah. It was only on the basis of their own greed that they did so. From God's perspective, the Babylonians were the hand of God's judgment against a sinful people. But from the Babylonians' perspective, it was without cause. Then Isaiah goes on. Again the Lord declares, those who rule over them howl, and my name is continually blasphemed all day long. Therefore my people shall know my name. Therefore in that day I am the one who is speaking. Here I am. What do people who are in captivity, what is the message they need to hear most of all? What is the message that people who are in trouble or who are in desperate straits or who are in circumstances they cannot cope with or understand, what is the message that they need, the message that you need? That Jesus Christ rules, that he is on the throne, that God reigns. Notice then how the text follows. How lovely on the mountains are the feet of him who brings good news, who announces peace and brings good news of happiness and announces salvation and says to Zion, your God reigns. Do you get that message, friends? Does that message permeate your heart? As God called the people of old to understand that message centuries ago, that your God reigns, that he is on the throne, that there is absolutely nothing that is out of his control. Let's go back now to Romans chapter 10. You see, it's this message now, in the context of Romans chapter 10, that Paul asks a pertinent question concerning in verse 18. But I say, surely they have never heard, have they? Indeed they have. Their voice has gone out into all the earth, and their words to the ends of the world. Psalm 19. What is Paul doing here? Maybe we better go back to Psalm 19 and take a look at it. Psalm 19, so familiar. The heavens are telling of the glory of God, and their expanse is declaring the work of His hands. Day to day pours forth speech, and night to night reveals knowledge. There is no speech, nor are there words. Their voice is not heard. In other words, when you look at the heavens are speaking, but not in an audible voice. That's what the psalmist is saying. And then in verse 4 he says, their voice has gone out through all the earth, and their utterances to the end of the world. And that's the piece of Psalm 19 that Paul quotes. Now I want you to think about this for a moment. Who is the Creator? Is not the Creator Jesus Christ? Is this not what the Bible teaches you and me? That all things came into being through Him, and that all things are held together by Him? Paul tells us this in the book of Colossians. And at the beginning of Romans, in chapter 2, or in chapter 1, I should say, Paul also tells us that the created order displays the divinity and the greatness of God. And if Jesus Christ is in fact the Creator, then this universe, when you go out and you look at it on a clear night, and on these cold nights now, on some of them you can go out and actually see the sky. That sky and that firmament is speaking to you and to me about none other than Jesus Christ and the divinity and the sovereignty and the greatness of Jesus Christ. Now there's something else very interesting about Psalm 19. In the Greek version of the Old Testament, the title to the psalm goes like this. Toward the end, toward the goal, toward the telos is actually the language. And then it has the words, a psalm of David. Go Go back to Romans 10 now. What is the end? What is the telos that Paul speaks about in Romans 10? And this is in verse 4. Jesus Christ is the telos, the end, the goal. And here in Romans, it's the end of the law. But some commentators make this connection that perhaps that word telos, that word goal, that word end is connected in the thinking of the apostle to Psalm 19 because the apostle uses it here in Romans chapter 10 also. So what is Psalm 19 telling you and me? I think in the end, as you look at the created order, Psalm 19 is saying to you and to me, the created order is showing you there's a great God above who is the ruler of all and who is supreme over all. And so, have men and women heard the message? God reigns. God rules. Paul says, yes, they have. Yes, they have. And this is a message, friends, that you need to hear again and again and again. Because this message, your God reigns, the message that God and His rule through the rule of Jesus Christ is your comfort and your salvation. Isn't this what Paul says in the context of Romans 10? That the whole idea of the Lordship of Christ is bound up in your salvation? What is your confession as a Christian? Is it Jesus is Lord? Is that your confession? It should be. And if you make that confession with a full heart, you know that your life is in the hands of the sovereign. And you know that the words that Paul speaks in Romans 8:28, all things work together for good to those who love God and are called according to His purposes, is not just a little saying you put on a plaque on the wall. You know that everything in this universe, every molecule in this universe, is working for the good of you and the people who are sitting in the pews around you. That's what that text means. God reigns. And you know that this is also your comfort. I'm struck by this little prayer request. Jessica, is that the gal's name? And how do we handle those kinds of situations? How do we come to grips with those kinds of situations? I submit to you that the only way in the end that any of us, parents, children, friends, can come to grips with a situation like that is to understand that in the end, we are all in the hands of the sovereign God of the universe, that Jesus Christ reigns supreme. And whatever He does for His good and the good of His people. There's no other way to handle situations like this. And so Paul asks the question, But I say surely, they have never heard, have they? Indeed, they have. Their voice has gone out into all the earth, and their words to the ends of the world. And what is that voice? It's the voice of the sovereignty and the rule and the reign of God through Jesus Christ. And God's rule exercised through the sovereign reign of Christ is, in the end, dear friends, your comfort and your salvation. Let's pray together. Father, thank you. Thank you for the words of the apostle. Thank you that we can see how the same message is given in both the Old Testament and the New Testament. Thank you that we can see your consistency in setting forth your truth. And thank you for the message that you reign. Thank you for the message that Jesus Christ is Lord. And I pray, Father, for each one of us here, especially as we come into this celebration of the birth of Christ, that we would understand that the reason for his coming is for us to see not only your grace and your love, but to see your sovereignty, your salvation for our comfort. Thank you that this is the case. And so, fill our hearts, we pray together, with this message that your rule, exercised through the reign of Christ, is our hope and our salvation. Hear us, we ask, in the good and gracious name of Jesus Christ, who is indeed the Lord, we pray. Amen.